Welcome to the Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huffines Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in a language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Hello and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance. I'm Tim Lightfoot, the director of the Institute and your host this week. And every week we bring you interesting people from the world of sports medicine and human performance and try to give you a peek inside of how they got to where they are and what they're doing and some of their thoughts about what the future of their area is. And today's no exception. We have our second athlete on the podcast. We have Mr. Andrew Woolridge with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Andrew. First of all, welcome to the podcast.
Howdy. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Aggieland howdy is always a great way to respond, isn't it?
Yeah.
Andrew, we're quite honored to have Andrew here. Andrew was on the football team here. He played either fullback or defensive line, depending on what year you watched, right?
Yes, sir.
And he was originally from Lexington, Texas. He was a first-team All-State linebacker there, as well as being the defensive most valuable player in his senior year, and saw action in many games here with the Aggies, and so we're glad to have you today.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, our topic today of conversation is not going to be Aggie football, or maybe not much of it, but we really want to talk about the experience of being a student athlete. You know, so many people have this idea that athletes are wine and dine and get a lot of benefits and so forth, and he's laughing knowingly because in reality it can be a grind sometimes, can't it?
Yes, sir, definitely.
What was the most unexpected transition that you had when you went from high school to college athletics?
I think the biggest challenge coming into it was the time management thing. You know, they preach to you coming in that you're going to have to learn how to manage your time.
Yeah.
But you don't expect it to be as drastic as they say. But I think the time where I hit it the hardest was actually my last semester. I took 18 hours during football season. It's my senior year. So I'm trying to finish strong with my football career. I'm trying to finish strong academically. And I literally had a schedule hour by hour. Andrew, you have to do this.
Yeah.
At this time, you have to be here. You have to do this. You have to do that.
Yeah.
So I think definitely time management is one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. One of the things I neglected to mention that is really important is that you graduated this past December with a degree in leadership studies with two minors in sports management and one in tourism resource management. So you're one of those successful athletes that had a great career athletically and also had a great career academically that's going to set you up. What are you going to do in the future?
Right now, I'm actually interning in the athletic department in the athletic director's office, so I'm going to do that this semester, you know, finishing up here in Aggieland, and then try and join the business world somewhere.
Cool. Well, you were talking a few minutes ago about the time management skills that you've gained and the difficulty it was. Walk us through a little bit kind of the life of a football player at a major university on a daily basis. Do you just sleep till 9 and take a couple classes and then, you know, got practice for a couple hours and then you got the rest of the evening to yourself? Or
the sleep till 9 part definitely isn't true. We normally, you know, because you're balancing class and workouts and things, and so normally your day's starting at 5:30, 6 o'clock every day. You're up, you have to get a lift in before you have to go to class, and you know you'll have 3-4 classes a day, and then we have to go in. We have to have all our classes done by 2 as a student, as a football athlete. But we have to have the classes done by 2. Then we're in there for film till around 4, so we're watching film for a couple hours. Then we're out on the field for practice, and then after practice. A lot of the guys have study hall after practice, so it's definitely a full-time job.
Right, right. And I think people don't realize that there is it is a full-time job, that you have all that in there. Now do they take care of you guys as far as eating? I mean, I noticed nowhere in there you talked about eating, taking time to eat lunch, breakfast, dinner.
Yes, sir. With here at A&M, a lot of places do, you know, 2-3 meals a day. Here at A&M, we do one, and then we have snacks throughout the day. Mm. So they take care of us in that aspect of things. We have a nice big hearty meal, so all the different catering companies here in College Station will come in and take care of us. So yeah. They feed us well.
So and you talked about classes, and so oftentimes we think about athletes as, they don't go to class, they blow them off or whatever, because they're here to play football or basketball or whatever they're doing. And I think what I'd like to do is chat a little bit about that. What kind of guidance, oversight do you have as an athlete here when it comes to taking class?
The coaching staff that I played under, they were, I don't know how they do things now this year with the new staff, but the staff I played under, Coach Sherman, he did not play around about missing class. We worked with the Corps of Cadets. Anytime you go to class, there'd be a member of the Corps there. You sign in with him, you know, and when class is over, he's there to make sure you didn't just sign in and leave. So at the end of class, you have to sign out, and so they make sure we're there every day. There's no taking a day off, taking a nap.
Right, right. Well, that's interesting. So, and then outside of class, then how do they help? Because you're obviously tied up, with lifting in the morning and then with practice in the afternoon. You're tied up 5 or 6 hours a day with football. So when do you study?
I did a lot of my studying, you know, in the evenings after practice. We have so many resources here in our academic center. We have tutors for any subject you need it. And we have learning assistants that are here till midnight every night. So, you know, they work strenuous hours just like we do, and they're here to help us 24 hours a day pretty much.
Yeah. And that's not just football.
No, sir. It's all sports.
It's all sports. And we've got about, 630 athletes on campus, mm-hmm. something like that. So it's all sports, and whether it be the equestrian team or the football team, they're all treated the same in that aspect. Yeah. Now, in your experience, and I'm sure you know athletes at other schools – that may be smaller than A&M. Is that the same kind of experience they have as well, or is playing at a large university like that, like this, bring different demands?
I think it's definitely a little different. You know, I have friends that play D1 AA football, D2, D3. So,
sure.
And they have a few more complaints than I do here at A&M. Our resources are amazing. The things that are provided for us here, you know, we have a great nutrition staff. We have a great academic staff. They can help you in all aspects of life. We have a great life skills program, you know, career help, anything you need, we have it here. Texas A&M is at the top when it comes to things like that and the resources that they provide their student athletes with.
Right. And I would really emphasize, actually, for the people listening, that it's not just athletes. I mean, athletes have this area where they go, but, you know, A&M provides those kind of resources for all students out there.
The Aggie Network knows how to take care of each other. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. The producer had a great question, and that is, if you had the chance to address one misconception the public has about student athletes, which misconception is that, do you think?
Just from being, you know, here for 4 years, people on the outside looking in, they think everything is just given to us. Mm. And that is false. That is absolutely false.
You mean you're not driving a Hummer or something like that? No.
No. The things that we do get, everything here is earned, you know. Yeah. While they're sleeping in till 12, 11, you know, playing video games, we're up here working out in study hall, you know. And so, I mean, everything that we get is earned.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for the things that we get.
Yeah. What do you think, if you look back, let's say in 10 years you're going to look back, what do you think your favorite memory of being in Aggieland is going to be?
My favorite memory, this is one thing that Mike Sherman instilled in his players, is just one of these things that I will always miss is being in the locker room with my teammates.
Mm.
Whether it's before practice or after a game, you know, when we have a big victory. Those will be some of the fondest memories I have here in Aggieland. Just being with those 100 guys in that locker room and hearing all the stories and all the jokes and things. That's one thing you'll never have that
right.
ever again.
Right.
That's definitely the greatest memory I'll have.
Yeah. Here in Aggieland, for those of you that haven't been at Texas A&M, we have a tradition that when the war hymn is sung before the game and after victories, that there was a piece where people interlock arms, and we do what we call sawing the horns off. What is that like when you're doing that out in front of like 93,000 people in the stadium?
When you're down on Kyle Field and you know everybody locks arms and they start to saw them off, and you have to experience it down on the field. It's unbelievable. I mean, we're packing 85, close to 90,000 people in that stadium each week. And to look up there, up at the press box, when everyone's, you know, rocking back and forth, it's like the stadium is literally moving. And it's just, it gives you the chills every time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've done it, you know, dozens and dozens of times. And every time it gives me the chills.
Yeah. Now, we're also unique in that the students are huge supporters during the game. I mean, they consider themselves as part of all the athletic teams. They call themselves the 12th man. What has that meant to you guys as athletes?
The 12th man here is unbelievable. The way they support us is like none other.
Yeah.
I can remember a couple years ago, you know, when we played Nebraska, and I think that was the game we broke the student attendance record, and you know, everybody's waving their towels, and it's a great game. We wound up winning 9-6, and all the fans charge the field.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, normally, you know, you wait for the clock to wind down to zero, and we jog across the field to shake hands. I literally took two steps onto the field when the clock struck zero, and I was surrounded by people.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, nobody wants to be the last one in the locker room when coach is in there giving the post-game speech. And so I jog in there. And I was like, okay, I wasn't going to be the last one. I was the first one. I was the only one in there. So I'll never forget that. And the next one in was actually one of my roommates. So
oh, wow.
We're sitting there like, okay, I guess everybody is out there.
They're all celebrating.
The
yeah, because, I mean, we have what, usually 35 to 38,000 students at a game. And they stand through the whole game.
Whole game. So
that's amazing. Yeah, they buy seats and they don't even use them. Huh? So if we think about being a student athlete again, and you have wonderful memories, do you think that the amount of time you practice and you put into football, you think that affects your overall performance during the day, you know, especially in class?
I think it's one of those things you just have to adapt to. You know, of course, your first semester, you're not used to it, and
yeah.
you're going to be tired. But I mean, eventually, you adapt to it, and you know, you learn how to you know get through things. So.
Yeah. How do freshmen handle it? I mean, we call them fish here, but how do the fish handle it? Are there support systems for them put in place? Or?
Definitely. I remember my freshman year, we had one of our graduate assistants. Every week we'd have freshman roundtables. You know, he'd bring us in. He was like, okay, you know, how are things going? And, you know, and we, you know, okay, well, I have this problem. And he says, oh, you know, this is how you handle this. So they do a great job of mentoring the younger guys and, you know, teaching them how to adjust to things.
Yeah. Are most of the freshmen pretty honest, or are they concerned about not playing?
You know, that's a great question. I think a lot of the freshmen, you know, everybody just wants to come in here, and everybody has that big dream as a freshman.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to come in here, start as a freshman, which in reality, we played in the Big 12 last year, but you're going to the SEC to come in as a freshman and be a starter and be an All-American. That's a hard thing to do, but I mean, everyone comes in, you know, with a great work ethic, trying to earn their role. And
so they're ready to come. They're ready to go when they get here.
Yes, sir.
let me ask you, if there are parents that are listening that maybe have children that want to be college athletes, or maybe you're being recruited at this point, from your vantage point, what kind of advice would you give those parents as they start to look at schools and they start to weigh offers from different universities?
I had a great support system with my parents. You know, when it came to, I was pretty heavily recruited. I had a lot of options, and it got kind of to the point where it was just stressing me out. I was like, I'm tired of these guys calling every day. And at that time when I was getting recruited, they could text you every day. And I sat down with my parents and I said, you know, it's time to make a decision. And my parents gave me the best advice I've ever gotten. And my mom, she looked me in the eye and she said, son, if, you know, you go to one of these universities and your very first practice, you step out there and you get hurt and can never play again, would you be happy just going to school there? So I think when you're, you know, telling your son or daughter, you know, as an athlete, make a decision. Look at the school first. Mm-hmm. That's an important aspect because I came in as a freshman and I was injured as a freshman. And it was really hard. I'd never been injured before. I had reconstructed surgery on my shoulder and I was out for most of my freshman year and part of my sophomore year. And if I had taken one of those other offers and I was at OU or Duke or somewhere like that, and I didn't have the support system I had here, I mean, my family's close to me, I don't know if I would have made it. Mm. But I had such a great support system here that I was able to persevere through that and, you know, finish up my career and get my degree from A&M. So.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. One of the things that we talk a lot about is rehabilitation of athletes. And obviously being injured, having that a major surgery like that. How did the rehab team and the sports medicine team here really work with the coaches to make sure that you were 100% and ready to come back when you did?
Our staff here is great. I remember when I first got my injury, you know, I'm a stubborn freshman. I want to come in and play. And they told me, they said, Andrew, you know, your shoulder's pretty torn up. You're going to have surgery. And I go, well, what happens if I don't have the surgery? And they tell me, they said, it's just going to get worse and worse. You're not going to be able to play football. And I was like, well, I'm going to go without it. Hmm. And I went about a week or two. And I remember going to class here on campus, and I went to open a door, and the door was locked. And I yanked my shoulder out of place and couldn't get it back in place.
Ooh.
And so I went to our training staff, and I said, I'm going to have the surgery. And, you know, I had the surgery, and I'm going through rehab, and it's I've never had an injury. So it's a hard process for me, but they're there supporting me step by step, and I'm in there every day, you know, where am I, you know, how far along am I? And I was that guy that was like, can I go this week? Can I go that week? And they're like, no, be patient, you know. And I'd go to coach, and I'm like, coach, I'm ready. I know I'm ready. He goes, no, the training, you know, they work closely with the training staff, and they trust them. And so I wound up coming back midway through my sophomore year, and it worked out well for me.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a theme that we have heard over and over from different people, and that is that sports today is really a team effort, not only what you see on the field, but off the field, between the sports medicine staff, between the coaching staff. And if they don't talk to each other, there's real problems. Because coach may say, you're ready to go, and the sports medicine people say, well, no, you're not. And that's never a good situation.
Yeah, our training staff here, they work really closely, anywhere from our training staff to our strength staff and our coaching staff. They're all close-knit, and, you know, our training staff will go to our strength staff and go, okay, you know, when you're working him out, make sure he doesn't do bench just yet. And, you know, make sure he just does some light dumbbells. And they all do a really good job of communicating that so you're not, you know, moving the process along too fast or anything like that.
Yeah, cool beans. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for taking time with us. We're running a little bit short on time here. We always give our guests an opportunity to give us a take-home message. What do you want people to remember if they remember nothing else about this podcast?
To the current athletes, you know, my message to you would just be enjoy your time. I mean, it's short. I remember my last game, our bowl game this past year, when that clock struck zero. And we walked in that locker room and, you know, we got the chance to go out with a victory. And I remember I was one of the last ones out of the locker room because, I mean, I started playing football in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always my dream to be in the NFL. And, I mean, you know, there comes a time where you had to come to grips and come to reality, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. And to walk in that locker room and say, you know, it's officially over. And, you know I gave it my all, but just give it your all and enjoy it while you can. That's my message to people who are athletes or aspire to be athletes.
Excellent. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. It has been very illuminating. We've enjoyed it.
It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll have you back in the future, and you can tell us about what's happened between now and then, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Be glad to.
Good. And for all you that are listening, we're glad that you joined us this week. Our podcast question of the week is, what game, what team were we playing when Andrew got mobbed on the sidelines? So be the first one to send us the answer to that question, and you'll win one of our nifty podcast T-shirts. just send that answer to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. Be the first one to send it in. You'll get that nifty t-shirt. And again, I want to thank you all for taking the time to download us and listen today. We hope that you join us next week when we have another leader in sports medicine and exercise science on to hear what their story is. And in the meantime, we hope that you stay active and stay healthy.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Kelsey Sachs and Cheryl Marek and licensed by the Huffines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huffines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by John Miles Productions at johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.